May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I often comment that one of the reasons why it is so important for the church to have teenagers and young adults is because they don't yet know that they can't change the world. As we get older, we have a tendency to become more cynical. We have a tendency to look around and see the impact of our efforts, of our striving for social justice, of the intractability of the world's problems, of poverty, of violence, of war, of all of these things that we imagine and we know that the kingdom will not have. And we have a tendency to look at it and say, so what's the point? What is the point of trying to change it when it flatly refuses to be changed? This is, honestly, the problem that the community that led to the Hebrews was addressing. The people who this letter is written to are not living under intense persecution. That would come later in the church's history. But they are struggling with the realization that the shining vision of God's kingdom, the eschatological promise of all being set right, was not happening in the timetable that they had anticipated. Indeed, it did not seem to be happening at all. And they were struggling with people around them who said, why are you living this way? Why are you members of this new faith, which, by the way, gets you nothing? If it doesn't seem like it doesn't make a difference, what is the point of it all? Why do you bother? And so the writer of Hebrews, tackles that question, the same question that we have in our ongoing life of faith. What is the point? What good is it if we cannot see where we are going? What good is it if we can't see progress towards our goal? Why make the effort if it doesn't seem to be making any kind of difference at all? Well, says the writer of Hebrews, that's what faith is about. Faith, you see, is not taking in the evidence, determining timetables, and rationally following a course of action that has certain set of goals and things where we can point and say, aha, so we've made steady progress. Faith, the writer of Hebrews says, is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is about trusting that the promises of God are real and trustworthy and can be held onto. And she points to Abraham, as an example of what this means. Abraham, you may remember, is living a fairly comfortable life in Ur of the Chaldeans when he gets an invitation from God. Follow me, and I will give you a new land. Follow me, and I will give you descendants. And Abraham says, okay, I'll do it. We'll give this a go. And he does. And he comes into the land of Canaan, and things go fairly well for a while. But there's a little 16 point here. That promise of descendants, Abraham's not getting any younger, and neither is Sarah. In fact, Sarah has now passed beyond childbearing age. And even Abraham is starting to wonder how on earth this can happen. Abraham is saying, "You promised me descendants, God. Where are they?" You do know that babies are involved in that, right? And God says to him, "Don't worry, Abraham. I've got this. Trust me that nothing is impossible with me. Trust me that it will be as I say. Trust me that my promises are trustworthy." And today's scripture tells us, Abraham said, okay. And it was reckoned to him as righteousness. We should note that Abraham's faith was not exactly unwavering. You may recall that at some point Abraham comes to the conclusion that God needs a little bit of help with this process. And so he and Sarah arranged to conceive a child through her handmaiden Hagar, which would create all manner of problems further on down the line. You'll remember that Abraham, far from having unwavering trust that God could keep him safe in this new land, occasionally pulls off some rather interesting and shady deals with the Pharaoh of Egypt, pretending Sarah is his sister. No, she's my sister. Abraham does not have an unwavering faith. But when push comes to shove, when he comes down to the decision of, will I choose to believe the promises of God, or will I choose to give up on that? He always chooses God. He always chooses to trust the promises of God, even when he has absolutely no idea where he is going, how he will get there, what on earth God will do with the mess this time. He keeps walking in hope, in trust, in faith. That, the writer of Hebrews says, is the call to us as people of faith. To keep walking in trust even when we don't know where we're going. To trust the promises of God even when they don't seem very feasible. Why? Because, Jesus says in our gospel, it's God's good pleasure to give us the whole kingdom. One of those promises again, those promises of God. The kingdom of God, where there will be enough for everybody, where there will be no poverty, there will be no war, where there will be justice for all. Oh, that vision of the kingdom of heaven, that vision where those who have much do not have too much, and those who have little do not have too little. Don't be afraid, Jesus says, because that is the promise God is making to you. And so he says, live as though you believe that was real. Live as though you can trust that promise. Give away what you have so that you can share generously. Live as though you can trust God to provide. Live ready for that kingdom. And so that kingdom is just outside your doors and you can come at any moment because it can. Trust the promises of God and don't be afraid. It takes faith to do that. Because we still live in a world where we're not sure what time those promises will be made. Like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, we keep walking in the hope of those promises, but without seeing their fulfillment. Maybe little evidence of them, maybe signs of the coming kingdom, but not the fulfillment of that promise. We keep walking and hoping, not seeing, but dreaming. But that promise that Jesus makes, that God's desire is to give us that kingdom, is true and trustworthy, and that that we can live that way as though it were. That's what it means to be people of faith. To keep living as though we could trust that there will be a world in which poverty and violence and war and racism and all of these things we struggle with will one day end. That there will be a world in which those things are not part of it. In which the dignity of all persons will be honored and upheld. And we do that not because this makes rational, logical sense. Not because we have interim goals that we've made or gotten a gold star on our task chart. But because we have faith. And faith is the assurance of things hoped for. And the evidence of things not seen. Amen.